Excellent. Well, welcome. Whether it's your first time with us or whether you're listening or watching online, my name is Chris High. I'm the lead pastor here at Hoboken Grace. And this morning we're continuing this conversation called Bedrock. We've got a long ways to go and a very little amount of time to do it in. As a matter of fact, I only made it through half of the message in the first service. So we're going to move pretty quickly. That's not a joke. I literally only made it through half of the message in the first service. I can see Jason smiling because he knows how long the message is. And we're going to make sure we get out of here on time because some of you I know just got really nervous. But we got to move quickly. Right now we're in the middle of this conversation, Bedrock. And we're building our entire conversation on this foundation that we find in Matthew chapter 7. I want to read it to you again. It says, anyone who listens to my teaching, and this is Jesus talking, and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. And so Jesus is talking to his followers, says, listen, if you will take what I'm talking about and put it into practice, you can build your life, you can build your home on bedrock, where it'll be unshakable. No matter what comes against it, the storms are going to come, but it will not collapse. And so with that as our foundation, we've been walking through the book of Ephesians. In the book of Ephesians, we've seen how God built his family on submission, how he gave himself for us, and then how he calls us inside of this larger family to build our families on submission as well. Ephesians 5:21, he's talking to all of us, and further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. As he continues from Ephesians 5:21, then he begins to look at the different roles inside of the larger family, and also different roles inside of our individual families. And for us, as we interact with this, we don't want it to just be a vague concept. Oh, you need to submit to one another. It's so vague. It can mean everything. It can mean nothing. We want for it to become specific. Okay, what does that actually look like for every single one of us, especially as we're interacting with our individual families, and then also as we're interacting inside of this larger family? And so we've begun to break those down. Last week we looked at the role of the husband. Okay, what does it look like for the husband to submit to his wife? And we saw the beautiful example of Christ and everything that we walked through last week about pursuing and having a mission. But this week we continue and we move forward. And I know for many of you, you walked in today, especially those of you who are wives, maybe you walked in a little bit nervous. I heard some conversations coming out of dinner groups this past week and a lot of the wives I heard we're making statements like, man, that was really intense for the husbands. What is it going to be like for me this week? But I'm going to draw out that tension and we're going to actually move to a different conversation and come back to that one next week. So I'm just going to allow you to live in that tension for a little bit longer there. We're actually going to jump this week to a relationship that I believe would have been one of the most controversial. I think the husband's relationship to the wife was extremely controversial, but this one may have been even more controversial. It's the last relationship that you see as he's talking about our individual families and what it means to submit. He walks through the wife to the husband to the wife, then he walks through the child to the parent. Now, for many of us, I think for almost all of us, we understand that one. We expect that one. Of course, children are supposed to submit to their parents. You're supposed to obey your parents, honor your parents. Right? You've learned this since you were this tall, right? All of us did. If you didn't, you're really screwed up today. But hopefully you did, that you're supposed to listen to your parents. But then he flips the script. He says, not only children should you submit to your parents, and this is what it should look like. But he says, but then also, parents, this is what it looks like for you to submit to your kids. He flips the script and brings into it a relationship that I think for many of us, we would not expect. I love the way that the expositor's commentary talks about it, talking about verse 4 in chapter 6. It says, the child-parent relationship is not one-sided. It's a feature of Paul's treatment, and Paul's the one who wrote the book of Ephesians. It's a feature of Paul's treatment of these domestic categories that the stronger have obligations to the weaker. The gospel introduced a fresh element into parental responsibility by insisting that the feelings of the child must be taken into consideration. In a society where the father's authority was absolute, this represented a revolutionary concept. The writer's going along through these different relationships, and I think for many of them, they're expected. But then he comes to the last one, and he throws in a twist. He says, okay, parents, now you also need to submit. Everyone to everyone, including you, parents, you need to submit to your children. Now, what in the world does that look like? I mean, are you saying that I'm supposed to put myself under the authority and the power of my kids? And I'm supposed to listen to them? No, that's not what I'm saying. All right. And as we walk through this, make sure that you pay very close attention to that, because if you do that, things will go very bad for you. Okay? That's not what he's saying, but he's trying to help us understand this. Part of the problem, and again, one of the reasons why we don't understand this passage is that we keep reading into it our social and societal understanding of the idea of submission. And inside of our culture, we define submission as placing yourself or yielding to the authority or the power of someone who is stronger than you. And so I yield to you because you have more authority, or I yield to you because you have more power. That is our culture's idea of submission. That is not God's idea of submission. And you hear them talking about it in that commentary, right? That the message of Jesus Christ introduced an entirely new idea of what it means to submit. And so no longer is it that you are submitted to because you are strongest, but that now those who are strongest have an obligation to those who are weaker. And even though I may have more authority than you, even though I may have more power than you, I am going to voluntarily submit myself to you. And so he comes to parents and says, okay, listen, you need to submit, even though they may be weaker than you. And I know some of you, as I say that, you're here and you're parents and you're like, weaker than me? You haven't met my kids. My kids are constantly trying to beat me into submission. Right? But I think we all know we are the ones who have the authority. We are the ones who have the strength. He says, parents, you need to submit to your children. Listen to the passage. It's found at the beginning of chapter 6. I'm going to begin with children to parents so you kind of see it in its context and continue into where he's speaking to the parents and how they submit to their children. Beginning in verse 1, it says, children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you and you will have a long life on earth. That's the part we expected, right? Children, you need to submit to your parents. This is what it looks like. But as he continues, verse 4, fathers, and he uses the word fathers here. It's translated the word fathers here. I think it's because of the priority that's being put on what we talked about last week with the husbands, that listen, your family takes their cue from you. But the truth is that the word that's being used here can actually be translated either way. Throughout the New Testament, sometimes it's translated father, sometimes it's translated parents. So it can be either. He's speaking to both, but with a little bit of a priority for fathers. And listen, you have responsibility here. It says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Listen to how it's said in the NIV. That's the New Living Translation there. In the NIV, it says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. And this is not just a one-time thing. This is also repeated in the book of Colossians, where it talks about this idea, this principle, Colossians 3:21. Fathers, do not aggravate your children, or they will become discouraged. It says, parents, here's the thing. You have to submit as well. You need to understand something. You have a responsibility to submit as well. And I think that that's exactly where it begins, is with this idea of responsibility. Because he's not saying, listen, parents, this is what it looks like for you. You need to listen to your children and obey your children. You need to follow your children. No. As a matter of fact, look at how he's breaking this out. What does it mean to submit to your kids? It means to bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. You need to understand, for all of us who are parents, and for those of you who don't know, I'm also a parent. I have a 4-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a little over 2-month-old, Caden, Kale, and Cole. It was a terrible mistake naming the last one Cole. Turns out Cole's really close to Kale. They are never called by the right name, ever. It's I don't know what we're going to do. It's a disaster. But anyway. He steps in and says, listen, you have, parents, myself included, you have a responsibility. And the first thing you need to understand as it pertains to you submitting to them is that you take on and you accept, you understand the full responsibility that you have in this child's life. And I know for some of you, you're thinking, well, of course, yeah, I take responsibility for my kids. I mean, I know where they are at 10 o'clock when the news reminds me. I take responsibility, but don't miss the uniqueness of this moment. Don't miss how rare this is in the scriptures. Do you realize that there's nowhere in scriptures where you are given expressed, commanded responsibility for another person? We have a general responsibility in one another's lives. It's introduced from the very beginning of the story. And so Cain kills Abel. God comes to Cain and says, hey, listen, where's your brother? Cain says, what? Am I my brother's keeper? Am I responsible for my brother? And the implied answer is yes, absolutely. You have responsibility for those around you. When you walk through the New Testament, it talks about being part of this larger family together, that we have this general responsibility for each other and to watch out for each other, to care for one another, to love one another. But there's no place in the entire scriptures where God comes to someone and says, hey, listen, here's the deal. You're going to answer for that person and their development. Even as a pastor, I have a responsibility in your life, but it's a general responsibility. There's not going to be a day when this is all over where God calls me up and calls you up, and we'll use Jason as an example. He's part of our speaking team here, right? God's not going to call Jason up and start talking to Jason, then call me up and say, hey, Chris, why is Jason so screwed up? He's not screwed up. He's great. But I'm not going to be held responsible for him, even as a pastor. And you go back to last week's conversation where he's talking to husbands. He says, he's introducing this idea of how Christ has a mission in our lives and how husbands, you need to be working for her to reach her potential. But it's not a communicated responsibility that, listen, husbands, one day you're going to answer for this. But then he comes to parents and it's different. He says, here's the deal. You're responsible to bring them up in such a way that they understand who I am and how I work. And I love how he ties it into frustration. Because what he's saying to you is this. If you don't take this responsibility seriously, if you're not teaching them who I am and how I work, they're going to live a life that will be completely frustrating. Why will it be frustrating? What have we learned about God? Why will it be frustrating? Why? Because they'll be looking for things to satisfy them that only He can satisfy. Because they'll be looking for purpose outside of this larger story. He says, listen to me, parents. You need, and you don't understand, you have a responsibility to make sure that your kids don't grow up and live lives that are frustrating. How do you do that? You submit to them. You give your life to teach them who I am and how I work. This is your responsibility. Now, I don't know about you, but that hits me as a parent really hard. That's a huge responsibility. And I think sometimes we believe that we're taking responsibility because of the fact that we make sure that our kids are provided for and they're happy. This is one of the reasons why it bothers me that young parents inside of Hoboken don't have a lot of interaction with teenagers. And if you're a young parent here and you live inside this area, the chances are you don't have a lot. For some of you, you don't have any interaction with teenagers whatsoever. That's really unhealthy for young parents. Young parents need teenagers. Because as young parents are exposed to teenagers, they understand over and over and over again, wow, it can get really bad. Like, I can't believe how bad it can get. And you need to know that. Why? Because it's going to help you take your responsibility seriously. All of a sudden, you're going to put a little more thought into who it is that you allow to speak into your child's life. Who is it that's going to be the primary influence on them? Who's going to actually spend the most time with them? Because when you don't see how bad it can get, you can begin to believe that provided for and happy is fulfilling and accomplishing your responsibility. Provided for and happy can go really, really bad if you're not doing what God says here. If you're not submitting to that child and doing what it takes to help them understand who He is and how He works. It begins as we step into that responsibility. And the way that we talk about this here, or one of the keys that we share to this over and over again here at Hoboken Grace, is in terms of priority. And what priority do you give your children? If you've ever been here for a child dedication, you've heard us talk about this, that in your life, as you take on this responsibility, it needs to be very clear where your children fit in your priorities, that your relationship with God comes first. Why does your relationship with God need to come first? Because you're teaching them who He is and how He works. You're not going to be able to carry out or live out your responsibility if you do not know who He is and how He works. And not only that, here's the thing, and you know it and I know it, especially if you're a parent, you can't do this on your own. You don't even have a chance. I don't have a chance if He doesn't help me. And so your relationship with God comes first. Your relationship with your spouse comes second. Because here you have the opportunity to be able to, and you hear Him talking about it in the passages before this passage, right? He's talking about husbands, the way you love your wives, and wives, the way you love your husbands, and how inside this relationship you have the opportunity to demonstrate to your kids how God loves them. And one of the places where they're going to learn the most about how God loves them and how God relates to them is by watching the way you relate to your spouse. Now, that's terrifying. But He wants for us to understand that this is the way that it is. And so you must put that relationship with your spouse second, because they're watching all the time. And their relationship with God, their understanding of who He is and how He works, it's going to be directly related to the relationship that you have with God, and it's going to be directly related to the relationship that you have with one another. You put your relationship with God first, you put your relationship with your spouse second, you put your relationship with your child third. And so, God, I give You the best of who I am. I give Anna the best of what I have after I've given God the best of who I am. And then I give my kids the best of what I have after I've taken care of those first two priorities. And the great thing about God is that God says, here's how you love me, Chris. Here's how you love me. You love her. You love them. And for some of us, our struggle in this conversation is that we make our relationship with our kids the most important thing in our lives. And when you make your relationship with your kids the most important thing in your lives, you know what they learn? God's not that important. Or for others of us, we make our relationship with our kids the second most important thing in our lives, and in the process, we lose our opportunity to be able to establish a foundation for them. We lose our opportunity to be able to demonstrate to them who God is and how God loves and how God works. But then for others of us, the problem isn't that our relationship with our kids is number one or number two. The problem is that our relationship with our kids is number four or number five or number six. Number seven. And so when we look at our lives, we love our kids. We care about our kids. But if it comes down to what's best for them or my success, I'm going to choose my success. If it comes down to what's best for them, or my entertainment and my relaxation, I'm going to choose my entertainment and my relaxation. When it comes down to what's best for them, or my rest, or my time, I'm going to choose my rest or my time. And if you're a parent, you know you make that decision all the time. I listened to an interview this past week. It was amazing, the timing. How many of you have watched Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee? You really should watch it. It's amazing. Jerry Seinfeld interviews these other comedians. It's hilarious. But then there's one in particular that I watched this week that blew me away. Seinfeld was interviewing Howard Stern. And Howard Stern was talking about growing up and talking about the relationship that he had with his dad. It wasn't a good one. And as they were driving along, they were talking about the radio. And obviously, Stern, and as he says, is the greatest radio broadcaster of all time. And they were talking about his desire to be on the radio. And he said, you know, growing up, we'd be in the car, and I'd want to share with my dad a story, or I'd want to talk to my dad, and without fail, whenever I'd start talking, he'd just shh, 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 and he'd turn up the radio. And he said something in that interview that blew me away. He said this, he said, he said, I thought if I could get in that box, then maybe he'd want to listen to me. So he gave his life to getting into that box. And you hear that story and you think, oh, but that's just kind of an exception. It's actually not. I have conversations with people quite frequently who are driven to be successful. They hate what they do. It makes no difference to the world around them. But in their parents' lives, their career was more important than them. Their success was more important than them. And so they grew up. And maybe not necessarily aware of it the way Howard Stern is aware of it. But they grew up driven to be successful. Why? Because if I can get there, maybe then I can finally be number three. For some of you, that was your life. Still is. Parents, your children should not be number one, should not be number two. But you better make sure that they're not number four or five or six. You say, well, how do I know? Is there something in your life? Is there something in your life that you would not be willing to give up if it were best for them? If there is, they're not number three. Another way that you know, and I heard someone talk about this a few years ago, is this. Is there something in your life that your kids interrupt that makes you angry? As I heard the story told, it was told about a car. And the individual that was telling the story was hanging out with another dad, and the kids did something, and his kid ended up denting the side of his car, and the dad went ballistic. And the individual who was telling the story said, he just pulled him off to the side. He said, I just want you to understand something about what just happened. I want you to know what you just taught your child. You just told them that that car is more important than they are. Is there something in your life that if your children interrupt or ruin, that it makes you angry? It's one of the ways you can tell. Whether you're giving them the priority of responsibility that you should or not. It begins with the idea that I take on the responsibility, I give them the priority that God gives them in my life, that God has assigned them in my life. And I don't want to just talk to parents about this, about what should be. I also want to talk to those of you who are considering having children. If there's something in your life that you would not give up, you say, well, I want kids as long as they don't mess with this. I want kids as long as this doesn't change. I want kids as long as, if there's something in your life like that, don't have kids. Do them a favor. Don't have them. They don't deserve that. And you will set them up to fail. You will set them up to fail. They deserve to be number three. Even if it costs you everything else. I remember I told the 12 o'clock service this a couple weeks ago, and so some of you may have heard me say it. I remember growing up, when I was growing up, I was obsessed with success. I cared deeply about what people thought about me, what people thought about my family. And I remember growing up watching my dad. My dad was unbelievably wise. He remains unbelievably wise. Every time I talk to him, he brings wisdom into my life. It's amazing. And I remember growing up, and I was a part of his youth group. He was a youth pastor, and he had the ability to be able to speak into a kid's life and change their direction completely. It was amazing. And I remember watching him as a pastor and thinking to myself, man, like, you could be incredible. Like, what you could accomplish is off the charts. But he grew up with a family. My mom had arthritis, severe rheumatoid arthritis. And so oftentimes he'd have to be at home and he'd have to leave whatever he was doing and go home to take care of her. And then over and over again, he made it a priority to make sure that he was at anything that was important to me or my sisters. And you would think as a child that I would love that. But to be honest with you, sometimes it annoyed me. Because like, man, if you would just spend more time at work, you could be really, really successful. Like you could be amazing. You could write books. There's so much you could do. And I grew up with this tension. And then years later, I was in the midst of a group. It was kind of unique. We were in school and I was studying theology and we went to see this church and the pastor there sat down with us and specifically sat down with those of us who are pastor's kids. And he wanted to ask us some questions because he was in the process of raising his kids. And if you don't know this, pastor's kids are just disasters usually. So he was really afraid of that. And so he was talking to us and saying, well, you know, what was it like for you to grow up as a pastor's kid? And what should I look out for? And what are the things that you think are important? And it was really crazy. I think there were four or five of us and they started going around the circle. And one by one, these kids talked about what it was like to grow up as a pastor's kid. And they kept saying, you know, my dad was an incredible pastor, but he's a pretty lousy dad. You know, he was always going here or there and I never really got to see him. My dad was a great pastor. He was a great speaker, one of the best speakers I've ever heard, but you know, I don't really know him that well. We don't have a great relationship. And one by one, the story was exactly the same until it got to me. And in that moment, I realized my dad believed in Ephesians 5 and 6. I said, my dad, he wasn't the greatest pastor. He probably could have done more. He probably could have been more. Probably could be more famous. But he was the best dad I've ever seen. That's what it means to submit. It means that you're willing to give up everything else. And I remember early on at Hoboken Grace, as we started growing, all of a sudden I started getting pulled in multiple directions. And my son Caden was born. And the demands of my time were higher and higher and higher, and more people wanted to meet with me, and there were more meeting after meeting after meeting, and things that I needed to do and things that I needed to accomplish. And I remember sitting down one day in my office and realizing that I was at a turning point. And I had to decide what was going to be more important. That I could be a great pastor, or I could be a great dad. But one had to take priority over the other. I decided. I love you guys. But you're not going to be third. They are. And that means that there's going to be a lot of times where you're going to want to meet with me, or you're going to think, man, things could move faster. Things could be better. Yeah, they probably could be. But you know what? God didn't tell me that I am expressly responsible for how you turn out. He told me that about Caden, Kale, and Cole. And so they will be number three. Parents, your children deserve to be number three. And if there's anything in your life that you're not willing to walk away from, If there's anything in your life you're not willing to be mediocre at or bad at in order to be a great parent, then you need to get rid of it. You need to get rid of it. This is your responsibility, given by God to you. An unbelievable responsibility, an unbelievable opportunity. Don't delegate it. And you don't have to live it alone. Again, going back to that concept of putting your relationship with God first, you don't have to carry this alone. And God wants to carry it with you. He wants to walk through this with you. He doesn't call you to anything that He's not going to equip you for. He's not going to walk through with you. But you have to decide you're going to take it for what it is. And not only does God want to walk through it with you, but we want to walk through it with you as well. That's why we work so hard at developing Grace Kids and what we're doing over there. And that's why you hear us talking about the Parent Queue and the Parent App, and you see the resources that we're trying to make available to you. Because we want to partner with you. We will not accept responsibility for your child. As a matter of fact, every time you hear us talking about it, whether it's inside of our kids' environment or whether I'm explaining it to you here, we're not here to develop your child spiritually. That's your responsibility, physical, spiritual, intellectual. As parents, we take that responsibility, but you don't have to do it alone. We want to partner with you in that. So we develop those children's areas and we try to make them as great as we possibly can so that over and over and over again we're communicating the truth of who God is and how He works and giving you tools to be able to build into that throughout the week. You don't have to carry it alone. This is also one of the reasons why, and I know some of you have questions about this, and we haven't talked about it in a while, so I just want to visit real quick. This is also one of the reasons why we don't allow children in this space. You see, one of the things that we know is that inside of a child's life, and you guys, if you saw the video a couple weeks ago, I was talking about inside of a child's life, there are about 940 weekends from the time that they're born to the time that they leave high school. When you begin to factor in the actual amount of time that we have in your child's life to be able to partner with you, it's less than 300 weekends where we have the opportunity to build into those kids' lives. And so we want to do everything that we can to get those kids into those environments so that we can partner with you. Your kids aren't going to learn anything from me. Nothing. But inside those environments, they have the opportunity to be able to hear the truth of who God is, the way in which they can receive it and understand it and begin to walk in it with you. We have a responsibility in these little kids' lives. And parents, we want to do all that we can to partner with you in that. It's amazing. It's amazing how God, in my life, as I've watched in the life of my dad, it's amazing how God can walk you through this. But it begins with accepting responsibility and giving it the priority that it deserves. And so parents, I challenge you this morning. I invite you this morning to step into that with all that you are. And to partner with us in your kids' lives. To help them find their way back to God. To raise them up in the discipline and instruction of who God is. Will you pray with me? Father, today as we talk about loving these little ones, Dad, it's amazing how you've loved us this way. It's amazing how as our Father, as we've stepped into this relationship with you, how you do take responsibility. And you're constantly teaching us. You're constantly guiding and directing us. Father, I pray that as you have submitted to us, as you've given your life for us, that as parents we would do the same for the little ones that you've given us. I pray that you would reveal those things. That we've allowed to become more important than them. I pray that for every one of us, that we would understand in this conversation that this does not decrease our dependence on you, but this increases our dependence on you. That our responsibility with our children would drive us to you over and over and over again. That we would be able to know who you are and how you work so that we can bring it into their lives. Father, I pray that as we give our lives for our spouse, I pray that we would understand that this is one of the beautiful ways that we get to bring the truth of who you are into our children's lives. And Father, I thank you for the promise. Not only the promise that you'll never leave us or forsake us, but the promise that if we'll take what you've taught us and we'll put it into practice. Then we can build a life that's unshakable. A life that will sustain through the storms. On bedrock. In Jesus' name. Amen.